the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. In a week where we're seeing league altering trades, you know, myself, Mamoutsi, three-time NBA champion BJ Armstrong, and with the trade deadline coming up, we have to bring in the GM extraordinaire to break it all down for us, Mr. Scott Perry. Fellas, I know we've been working overtime this weekend. How you living?
You guys have been doing it. I watched you over the weekend when this broke and listened to you guys break it down so well. And this was looking forward to getting on here today and talk a little bit more about NBA trades with the deadline coming up on Thursday. That is the vibe of the day.
Absolutely.
It's trade. Which teams got better? Why teams do things? Let's get into it, Mo.
Yeah, there was another trade last night with De'Aaron Fox making his way to San Antonio. But before we get to that, and I have absolutely no doubt that as soon as we finish recording this show, there will be another trade because that's just the way the world works. We got to get Scott's insight and reaction onto this Luka Doncic move to the Los Angeles Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis, because BJ and I, we shared some of our thoughts. You know, I've had a little bit more time to digest it. That was just an instant reaction. But Scott, I wanted to get your perspective as a 24-year executive in the NBA. Break it down for the people.
Absolutely. And I'm going to look at both sides of this deal. And first of all, to start off from a global perspective, I think both teams accomplished an objective that is fitting for either where their team is at now or what their organization is about. Okay. What I mean when I say that, let's start from the Dallas Mavericks perspective. And let me give Nico Harrison, before I forget, a lot of credit for stepping up and making a big, bold move when, quite frankly, a lot of people in his position may have not done that, been afraid to do that. But you got to give him credit. And you have to understand, nobody knows the locker room in Dallas better than he, Jason Kidd, and the people that work there. So when people look at, oh, how can they trade such a transcendent talent or great, you know, player, those kind of things, they know him because they were faced coming, you know, just a few months from now with having to pay this guy maybe $345 million. And you've heard me say this many times before. You've got the talent. You've got the person. They're not mutually exclusive. And again, I don't know Luka Doncic. And I'm not suggesting that, quote unquote, he is a bad guy by no means at all. But what I am saying to you is when I analyze him, ever since he's been in the league, there's been talk about him not being in the best condition. Defensively, it's clear to see he's rarely engaged on the defensive end. He does not bring a lot of defensive integrity. Is he one of the greatest offensive talents that we've seen, not only in this generation, but generations before? Absolutely. The guy is phenomenal on the offensive end of the floor. Now, with that said, people, you know, I hear the talk about, well, he's only 25, he's 26 years old at the end of this month. He can change. He's still young. He's been a pro for a long time. He's been an NBA pro 7-8 years, but he was a pro prior to that. And he had been given the keys to the franchise by Mark Cuban well before Nico Harrison even got there. So I'm laying all this out to give people an understanding that what goes into a thought on why you would trade this guy, because you're coming off a finals berth last year where he clearly, you know, conditioning was an issue once again. He's never played 70 games in the regular season. And defensively, again, he's a huge liability defensively. So then you hope, okay, well, he's only 26, he can change. Well, what's going to make him change? And all, like I said, he is the franchise guy. And then you're going to give him $345 million on top of that. So the bet here, from at least where I'm sitting, is just saying, okay, they targeted the player in Anthony Davis that obviously Nico knows from his time at Nike and his work there. And Anthony Davis, you know, conservatively is a top 10 player in this NBA for sure, on talent alone. And he plays both sides of the basket, the floor. Yeah, he has an injury history as well, too. But they know the person as well. And I would argue that him coming in the door makes Dallas a better overall team right now than Luka. Because if Luka didn't come back from this past offseason in better shape, which he didn't, the reports are he came in 260, 265, or whatever his weight was. If that didn't spur him on last year, the losing in the finals didn't wake him up to say, oh, I got to get in great shape. I let us down defensively, all those kind of things. That he didn't show that change then. I'm sure if you're Dallas, you're looking at that, well, wow, what's going to make him change? And Nico and those guys are saying, look, we've got, Kyrie is playing some of his best basketball. He has been a number one option on the team before. He was key to the run to the finals last year. Anthony Davis has won a championship as well there in LA. So you got two guys that have won a championship. I really like the depth that they have in Dallas. So their team, especially in the short run, next couple, 3 years, is going to have a chance to challenge an OKC, who I think right now is still the top team in the Western Conference. But this puts them firmly in the mix to have a chance to get back to a final and maybe win it all. From the Lakers' perspective, the Lakers, ever since I was a little kid, have always had a star name, star brand to identify with. Getting Luka Doncic now, taking advantage of the opportunity that was presented to them by Nico, I understand why they did that. So now they have their star name to transition from LeBron to Luka Doncic now. They had, that's important in Los Angeles to have that. Now, what that yields in terms of wins and losses and championships, the jury's going to be out on that. And the last thing that I'm going to bring up about the deal too, and what I really like the fact, and I want to answer this because people have been critical. Well, why did they at least shop this deal around? When you're going to do a big deal like this, and I don't know if you've heard me say this before, Mo, BJ has heard me say this before, but the majority of the trades that you make in the NBA are going to be done with people that you have a strong relationship and that you know well and you have some level of trust. In this instance, Rob Pelinka, Nico Harrison have a 20-year history going back to Nico's time as a Nike executive when he went to recruit Kobe Bryant away from Adidas, and Rob Pelinka was the agent for Kobe Bryant. So they had negotiated together a lot, shared a lot, and you could go to him in confidence and keep this thing quiet. Because if it gets opened up, like what people want to suggest, there's so many things that now that can go wrong. Then you get teams that aren't as serious, that are just offering all kind of crazy stuff. It's your job a lot of times as an executive, if you know what you want, obviously they know they want, wanted Anthony Davis, you went directly to the source. And guess what? If there was no interest there in the story, in the discussion, they would have just probably waited and maybe, waited till the offseason to make a move like this. So, but kudos to them for keeping it quiet like that, because it's hard to do. I know that personally, but I was pretty effective at that during my time, because look, you don't want to, when you start getting media types, and BJ was a longtime agent and all like that, all agents aren't created equal, things can get really messy and it can keep you from getting business done. So they got what they wanted. The Dallas Mavericks, clearly, they were very targeted in that. And so I have no real issue for that. Now, it's because it's a different situation than say like, okay, what's going on with Jimmy Butler right now? Or what's even went on, I know we're getting ready to talk about De'Aaron Fox, where it came out that De'Aaron Fox wants to leave Sacramento. Okay, so yeah, now those are the kind of deals you shop. But something like this, kudos to both sides, really, but in particular, Dallas's side, in terms of being very targeted and keeping it quiet.
BJ, I wanted to just get your thoughts again. With Luka Doncic and the point Scott made about his defensive liabilities, the Mavericks themselves won a championship in 2011 centered around Dirk Nowitzki, who, to his credit as a Hall of Fame player, wasn't a great defender, but they surrounded him with great defenders. The Mavericks, after their moves at a trade deadline last year for Daniel Gafford and PJ Tucker, they turned into one of the better defenses in the entire NBA, a defense good enough to get them to the NBA Finals. Do you not believe it to be possible that you can build a championship-winning team with a player like Luka Doncic on the floor?
Wisdom has taught me, Mo, that I can, there's more to this than I can see. Scott just mentioned it. I mentioned it, I think, Saturday when we taped. I can only comment about what I can see. And what I can see currently is what I see in the games. What I can't see is, Scott alluded to, the executives that are participating in a move like this, they have an advantage that we can't see, which is practice, the locker room, the person, and all of these things. So wisdom has taught me the following. Talent can't replace leadership. I can only comment about what I see. And what I see is just in the games. I can look at the stats. I can look at the, you know, if I had a player that was in the locker room, maybe share a story or two, or a coach that I knew and share. However, I'm not there. So because I respect this game, the game is the star of the show. The talent that we all are commenting about, we see offensively who this player is. I don't think anyone will argue with that. However, what we know is, if we're going to win, it's going to require effort and energy. Effort and energy is one of the things that we have to have if we're going to have a form of success. How do I find success? Success means you have to do your very best every single time you participate in whatever you're doing in life. Forget basketball. That's success. I can't ask more of another human being than their other than to give me your best. Right now, I have to respect the decision that was made by Nico and the staff and the ownership group there, because they made a decision based on something I can't see. I can't see it. And I'm not going to fall into the trap of beginning to comment about something that I know, because let me assure everyone there, the Dallas fans, the fans around the world, everyone, oh man, this is crazy. This is crazy. However, no, this is not crazy. When you have to make tough decisions about people, and Scott knows this better than most, you have to take into account the people that are in your building. You have to take into account the type of culture, because that leadership that you are required to have, if you're going to even have a chance to be a championship caliber team, that leadership is going to lead right into the next thing, culture. The culture is going to lead into the behaviors that you have to exercise every single day to achieve anything in this league. Okay, and then that culture, we can evaluate all of this by the results that we get. And you have to make these decisions based on people, not players, people. I don't know that. None of us know that. The only people that know that would be Nico and coaching staff, because they're every day. And then with the ownership's guidance, the ownership's
approval, blessing,
approval, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, you try to make a calculated decision on what's best for the organization moving forward. So all of these things that are being said, I look at it from this perspective. Anything that challenges the conventional way of thinking is a threat. This decision here is challenging the conventional way of thinking because everyone is utilizing the same argument of why would they do this? Look at his stats. Look at his five-time, six-time, first-team All-NBA. Okay. We have a person right here on this show, Scott Perry. Scott Perry, how many conference finals did you guys go to, Scott, there in Detroit?
Six straight.
Mm-hmm. How many finals did you guys go to, Scott?
Two.
Okay. And this gentleman right here, Scott Perry, there was another gentleman who was the president, GM, Joe Dumars. They went to six conference finals. They were never in the luxury tax. And they never had a max player.
Right.
and then you gonna fool me. Now I'm 57. Now they may fool you, Mo, because you weren't around as long as I've been around. And then they're gonna start telling me about analytics and conventional way of thinking, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I've been around enough to know the facts. Now these are the facts. I'm not giving my opinion. And I'm only going to give you the facts so that you can digest and you can take a deep dive. So when you start saying analytics, we should be asking Joe Dumars and Scott Perry, how did you do it in a small market? We should start asking, how do you construct a team? We should start asking what is necessary if we're going to have leadership, if we're going to have culture, if we're going to start evaluating the type of behavior that's acceptable in our building. And more importantly, let's look at that by the results that we get because we know where we want to go. So all of these things take place, but these little distraction arguments, they're just distractions. This is a results-driven league. No one's arguing about Luka's talent.
No.
But something must have happened or they know something we don't know. And this, to me, is the great unknown. Mm-hmm. And now we have to accept it. Now we have to move forward because I think now the NBA, and I always give you my opinion, and I always tell you when I give you my opinion, this is my opinion. I think the NBA just pushed the reset button. I think they pushed the reset button because now these mega max salaries that they have to make a decision on, when you look at these numbers, you have to have two things that you guys been, Scott been knowing me practically my whole life. There has to be a responsibility that comes with that Mega Max. And there has to be an accountability that comes with that Mega Max. These other executives and these people are saying, why? Secretly, everyone's asking the same question because that comes with the responsibility when any executive says, whether they willingly know this or not, when you give someone that type of
money
contract,
mm-hmm.
you're basically saying we're competing for a championship. That's what you're saying.
And
absolutely.
You say it's a results-driven league. Luka Doncic is 25 years old. He's been to the conference finals twice and the NBA finals once. Okay. So the results are there, regardless of his effort.
I'll say it again, because I don't want anyone focus on what you focus on. If that's what you can see, that's your argument. I've said this, and I'll just say it for the last time. There has to be something that I can't see. I can't see it. Because I got it. When you are an executive, you have to take in the entire picture.
No question.
There's more to this than just the game. There's more to this than just the game. So no one, myself included, is arguing what I can see. His stats speak for themselves. His accolades speak for themselves. Well, what is it then? The only people that can truly answer that responsibly are the people who have access to information that I can't see because I understand the responsibility of that job. So I'm not going to sit here because I have a microphone in front of me and begin to do something for the hot take. I respect this game too much. I want all these players to win. So my job is to say, okay, this is what I can see. And to understand This was a very difficult decision to make all around.
No question. Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. See, because I've lived in that hot seat. When you live in that hot seat, you understand what that decision entails. This isn't some, well, why? I'm not questioning it, why. I have to question the reason. I have to sit here and say, what could have possibly played out? And there's only a few things that I think that I can think of that could play it out to even embrace that situation. And here's the most unique thing about it, guys. They initiated the call as it was reported.
Right.
This wasn't like someone, Scott can tell you, he can verify, people are calling you always about your players. Mm-hmm. They initiated the conversation according to what I read.
Right.
So what happened where that was it, the relationship that was there internally with the team, with the executives, mm-hmm. or whoever the decision makers are, mm-hmm. that they initiated the call? And this is what was reported, and this is all I can see.
Scott, I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now. If you were the executive over there in Dallas, would you have made this move, or would you have kept Luka and paid him the Supermax?
First of all, again, like BJ made the point, the information, you know, if I'm sitting in there and having full information, so again, I don't know, I'm not in the Dallas locker room, okay? I respect it. I'm not anti that he made this decision, put it that way. You follow what I'm saying? Mm. But it would be for me to just blanketly say that without being there on a daily basis.
That's
that
might irresponsible.
Be a little, that'd be, yeah, that would be irresponsible on my end. But just knowing the little bit I know about, you know, Nico, he's not a rash kind of person. He's very analytical himself. He's gonna. This wasn't a knee jerk reaction, in my opinion. I haven't spoken to him yet, but so I'm gonna respect and I'm gonna trust. My answer: I'm gonna trust him in his thought process and how he got here, and respect his decision, if that makes sense, you know, mm-hmm. in doing this. You know, so I'm not going to say. And, you know, I listened to his press conference, and the one thing that I really loved at the end, I don't know if it was the end of it, beginning of it, because I just kind of heard it in snippets, where he said, look, you know, obviously the owner had to approve it, but this decision is on me. And if it works, great. You know, I own it. But if it doesn't work, I own it. And I love that. That's leadership. See, a lot of these guys, you know, in these seats won't come out and definitively do that. Most of them probably wouldn't even have made a move that bold like that. Because you know what? The safe thing, Mo, what you're alluding to without me knowing anything. Okay, to your point, Luka Doncic, great talent. They've been to a conference final. They've been to an NBA final. He's won, you know, top 4 or 5 MVP voting every year. We just hold on to him and we'll win a lot of games. And okay, if we win a title, great. If we don't, also great. That's a safe move. What Nico's doing here is saying that he's trying to win a title now. Didn't believe that in getting Anthony Davis and Max Christie and what they did and moving on from Luka is going to enhance his chances of doing that. And so now it's got to play itself out now. That's the beauty of this whole thing.
There has to be more moves, because if you're doing all of this talking about defense wins championships, you've now got Kyrie and Klay Thompson in your backcourt. I don't know how that's going to hold up defensively. Even though, yeah, it'll be great having Anthony Davis at the 4 and Lively and Gafford at the 5. Now you've got PJ Washington trying to guard other teams' 3s. And then I don't know how you're going to guard the other team's guards. There's got to be more moves coming.
I don't know. But you see, here's the thing on that, Mo. I would just, you know, Klay Thompson cut his chops in this league. I know he's older now, but he cut his chops in this league as a defender. Yes. He may not be, quote unquote, the same lockdown guy that he was at 26 or 27. However, there's an integrity that comes with a defensive integrity that comes with him, that allows you to put out a really good team defense. And Kyrie himself, even though he may not be recognized as a great individual defender, but if you watch the playoffs last year, his team defense didn't sacrifice your integrity. You follow what I'm saying? And now you got a back line that can really defend there. And you got depth as well. And guys can come off the bench and defend as well. I think this team is in a much better place defensively than they were before this trade was made.
Interesting. I
don't know what you feel, BJ, if you agree with that.
Well, you know, when you start saying defense, I want you to give me the effort and the energy that you have, and then allow yourself to be entrenched into our team defense. And then it's our job as coaches, executives, to figure out the matchups. Everyone can't be a great defensive player, just like everyone can't be a great offensive player. However, there are some things that are universal, like getting in a defensive stance. Now we keep track of blow-bys. If this is a bad matchup for you, then it's my job to figure out the matchup for the team. However, if you don't give me any effort or any energy, or you're not even engaged on the defensive end individually or with the team, that's a problem. Because we have to have accountability. Everyone has to have an accountability. If you give me your best, I just sat here and said, if you give me your best, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think there's a coach in the world that has a problem with someone who's giving you their best effort. The problem that I do have is when you don't give me any effort at all.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Scotty.
No, I was going to make one point because before I forget. See, you don't have to be great on ball. You know, like, see, you may lack some foot speed or quickness to be a great guy stopping dribble penetration. But what you can be, regardless of how quick or how slow your feet are, you can learn to be a good help defender. See, on the weak side, being able to make plays, see things, be in the stands, be engaged. If you don't do either, that's problematic.
Now you're a liability. Now we that's are a liability.
Liability, exactly.
And you ask any coach this. If your best player doesn't give the effort and the energy required,
right?
Let me assure you, you're not going to be there much longer, because that's not how this works in professional sports. That's not how it works anywhere. Everyone has to give the effort and the energy. You can't just play half of the game and then the other half, the other guys are doing all the work. That's not how this works. So whatever is happening, all right, at some point, it'll all come out. But defensively, Klay Thompson is a very prideful defender. I know Klay. He's a very prideful defender. Kyrie Irving takes on his matchup. Okay? He takes on his matchup. So whatever is required to win a championship, both of those guys have done it. They've been the multiple finals, I think. What? How many is Kyrie? Kyrie's won two. One at least.
He's won one.
One. But he's been in two finals.
He was injured in the first finals. And then,
okay, and then we know with Klay was arguably, you know, he should have been. I know he's at least he's got to be on the all defensive team. What he's put in or somewhere, I would think he has.
Because he's been on the best. Yeah,
he was an elite defender. Okay, he took on the best player, best perimeter player. Regardless whether they were a lead guard, two guard, small forward. So his versatility on that end, he's proven. Mm-hmm. I have he gets a pass. He gets an automatic pass because I know what he can do on that end. And he did it at an elite level. He's guarded every elite player in this era. Okay? So that is of no question now. Age catches up with everyone, but I don't have a problem. What has transpired in Dallas, this trade, I don't have a problem of the why of it. I don't have a problem of what has happened, because the only people that know are the people who did the deal. And I want to be respectful and I want to be mindful of how difficult of a decision that was. I understand the perspective from the fans. I get it. But this is great that we're talking about this. I think this is great for the league. I think it's great for business. Mo, I know you're probably somewhere deep down, you're really upset because you're looking at it saying, next year when the, well, this upcoming year to Christmas, there's going to be the Lakers versus the Celtics.
Why would I be upset? Mo, we going to kick their ass.
Yeah, you are. But you know what, Mo?
Team's dropping 50. I don't care.
Hey, Mo, they got a chance.
They got nothing but ugly yellow jerseys. That's what they got.
So I like this energy. I like what this brings. And you know what? Let's move forward. I like it. This is the type of competitive spirit. This is the type of tension that is needed. And this puts everyone on notice. Because now, let me assure you this. If I were a star player in today's game, I would be...
Yeah, I was laughing because last night I saw the tweet that Paul George and Joel Embiid resumed their on-court activities last night.
If I was a star.
If people get traded, I never thought we traded. Yeah, right, let me get back to playing.
I think, and Scott can comment on this. I think this put everyone on notice. That's why I think they pushed the reset button. Oh. Because if you can trade Luka Doncic, everybody can be traded.
Yep.
Because he I'm just being conservative. He's a top five player.
Everybody except Bradley Beal and LeBron James. Well, okay, exactly. Everybody but those two. But no, it does. And when people look back at this trade, I've been hearing all, this is the biggest trade ever, historical. And then some people, you know, trying to trash the deal. Oh, it can go down as the worst trade. No. See, they're not taking a global look at this thing. What happened here, like I said, there is a reset. And while these executives who are anonymously commenting about, oh, you know, how could they trade him, blah, 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 Nico Harrison has made their jobs a little easier today. See, there's strength in numbers. Because there's only a handful of guys that would have, in my view, that would have really pulled the trigger like that, considering the information that, you know, that obviously Nico thought he had. But now this is going to maybe allow more teams, more executives, even more owners to say, okay, now let's do a real evaluation before we decide to say we're going to give away $300 million to a particular individual and sign him up for 5 more years. What are we signing up for, and make that determination again. It's not, it's
Scott.
Yes,
I want to ask you, what would be your requirements to signing off on $345 million? What would be your requirement? Because, Scotty, that is, I always use the following: follow the money. If I want to know something, I just follow the money, and the answer is there. What would be your criteria for you to recommend to the owner that this is the right thing to do? Floor is yours.
Yeah, no. First of all, the player, and we've talked about it in this conversation so far, I can never question his effort, his conditioning level. He's got to be in elite condition. His approach it's got to be that he wants to be the best there is, and he wants his team to be the best they can be. And I'm stressed that team part, because he's got to be the lead. He's got to be the example on and off of the court for leadership, that people, that as I bring people in this organization, that people are going to follow him because he's all about the right stuff. I don't have to question about him, question about whether he's going to be in shape and whether he's giving his all on both ends of the floor. That's a non-negotiable. Now, there's a business side to it, too, that in this instance we're talking about with Luka. So he covered this part in Dallas that they sold tickets. You know, so that and so you from a business standpoint, you know, the guy has some box office appeal to keep your business running. And the most, you know, and the next most important thing, even before that, does this guy give me a chance to really be competitive and compete for championships year in and year out? It's a very high standard. I think what we've seen in the league over the last decade, that standard has been lowered for a variety of reasons that we don't have time to really get into. But I think this now is going to raise that standard. This deal opens people out to raise that standard to these things I'm talking about, and they've got to be non-negotiables. They have to be non-negotiables. And as I sit here, just, you know, there's probably a handful of players that may, you know, for, again, not knowing a lot of them, some of them personally, but just from what I see in their actions. And again, Mo, I'm going to use this till I'm gone. When you're investing in the talent and the person, and they're not mutually exclusive. And I've got to be on board with both equally.
Mm.
Can't be just the talent.
You
cannot be just the talent, because that alone is not going to lead to sustained success or growth and enhancement of your team culture.
You know what I find ironic, right, is the talent of Luka is never in question. The thing that may be in question is the effort and the defense, right? But I think that, first of all, this deal for Luka Doncic has cost him $120 million because he can no longer get the Supermax because he's no longer with the team that drafted him. Add to that, he now has to pay significant California taxes, whereas in Texas, where Dallas is, there's no state income tax, right? So this trade has cost him a whole lot of money. Second of all, his dad was on Slovenian television yesterday talking about this trade and whatnot. Luka really loved the city of Dallas. You know, he was invested in the community there. He really loved it. And this trade came as a huge surprise to him. I think they've just awoken a demon. I genuinely hope that Luka now is going to be more locked in than he's ever been before. Because you asked the question, will giving him $345 million make him change and make him whatever? Maybe, maybe not. But I think this situation now, where he went from feeling like they have a Luka Doncic day. I think it's like July the 6th in Dallas. The city has a Luka Doncic day, right? If he now knows that he can just be shipped out, I think we're going to see the best version of Luka Doncic that we've ever seen. Because you can say what you want about his defense and whatnot. I know Luka a little bit. He is a competitor. Like, you saw it for one game in the final. Remember the game the Mavs won? He was actually playing defense and everyone was like, oh my God, Luka can play defense. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see that a whole lot more now. I think the way that they handled the situation and the way that he's gone out the door, mm-hmm. and what they put in the media after talking about defense with championships, mm-hmm. Luka was 270 pounds. I really think they may have awoken a demon here in Luka Doncic.
Well, Mo, if you're the Lakers, that's what you're counting on. That's what you're hoping for. Because, you know, this league, and BJ knows this, going back to the time he played and well before him. A lot of times when trades are made and you take a guy from one situation and bring him to yours, that new situation always believes that they can change whatever past behavior that was deemed not positive and make it a positive because they're in their place now. And guess what? Only time will tell. We can sit up here and pontificate on it all we want.
I agree.
And Luka has lost a little. You bring up some great points. They can be great motivators for people in general. But Luka Doncic has already made a lot of money. Again, I'm not downplaying the fact that he, you know, lost potentially $120 million with this trade, $140 million, whatever. That is a heck of a lot of money. But he has a lot of money already. He's going to continue to make more money in Los Angeles. Money is not, quote unquote, going to be his.
No, it's not the money. It's the pride and the way in which they got him out.
No, like, I get that. But
when your pride is hurt like that, like I remember when I was young.
Mo, that's just your ego, though.
Ego.
But some of the best things in the world come from that. I wouldn't be sitting here today. I remember my first ever girlfriend I had, when we broke up, she called me broke. So what I do? I grinded harder than ever before, and here I am today. So Luka's been traded by the Mavs. They called him fat. He's going to go harder than he ever has before. Ego is necessary to win.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't he have done that in Dallas?
Because like you said, he was comfortable. He was given the keys to the franchise.
Well, if that's what it...
Okay. Well, now the Lakers are bringing him in and saying, you're our guy for the next decade.
Yes.
But now Lakers. It's not so much the Lakers. He couldn't do this as a middle finger to Dallas.
Okay. If that's...
Yeah, like I said, we can pontificate on it all we want. It's a... Basically, what you're saying is, what you're betting on is something that we haven't seen him do yet in terms of the being 240 or 245 or whatever the right weight is for him, and being in condition all the time, and being at least this responsible help defender night in, night out.
Yeah, just play how you played game four of the finals, just every night.
We're going to do that for 70. We're going to do that for 70 games. We're going to do that 70 regular season games, because I'm not going
to
82.
He can do it. He's just choosing not to do it.
But you know how many, right? Do you know how many players can do it and choose not to? Because
this is what I'm saying.
If the league was, if it was easy to turn on and off like that, how many guys were self-correcting?
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
What we're asking is not what you're saying. Again, I hope he does what you say for his sake. I would love to see it. That would be phenomenal if he did that. But what you're betting on, a part of human nature that if it was that easy to turn on and turn off, if it just took one moment to piss me off like that, okay, now I'm going to do it every day. And I was doing it once a month. That's a big ask. Now maybe he's one of the select few that can do it. We'll see.
We will. But elsewhere in the league, let's keep it moving. There is a trade. The Sacramento Kings have traded De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin will be going to the San Antonio Spurs. The Kings will be receiving Zach LaVine, Sidy Sissoko, 3 first round picks, 3 second round picks, and the Bulls will receive Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, and they get their own first round pick back from San Antonio.
What year is that in?
Okay.
What pick is that?
2025.
This year, so they got their own pick.
It's the 2025 pick, right? Okay. Here's my thing with this. And I'm going to say this respectfully. What the hell are they doing in the front office in Chicago? What the hell is going on? Okay. You had Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Alex Caruso. All 3 of those guys, you traded them away for Josh Giddey, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Chris Duarte. So basically salary, unless you're a Josh Giddey believer. BJ, I know you're a fan. But you also got 2 second round picks, and then you got your own pick back, which you traded away to get rid of DeMar in the first place. You traded those 3 guys and didn't get 1 first round pick in return. Now, you're a team who's going to need to rebuild. Mikal Bridges down there got 5 first round picks for himself. We see teams flinging around these first round picks like there's no tomorrow. Yet you're telling me the Chicago Bulls, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, 2 star players, and Alex Caruso, one of the most valuable role players in the league, couldn't get 1 first round pick in return? Or 1 of these players? I don't know if I'm looking at any of those players I just named as pieces to build around. I don't know. Maybe Josh Giddey pans out. Maybe he don't. But Josh Giddey is your best return for all 3 of those guys combined. I don't know what's going on in Chicago. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're just trying to be bad on purpose, but it's absolutely awful. Okay. It's terrible. I don't know how it's going on. You could let maybe anybody in the world be the GM for them and they could do a better job. Chicago Bulls, you didn't want to hire me for your show because you didn't like my English accent. Maybe you can hire me to be your general manager because I'll damn sure do a better job than what the hell you've had going on for the last number of years.
Hey, Mo, you dropped the mic. What else are we going to say?
Let's talk about the Spurs and the Kings, bro.
Exactly.
The Spurs have made out like thieves here. The Spurs have made out like thieves because they've acquired De'Aaron Fox in exchange for basically salary and 3 first round picks, but I believe that 2025 Charlotte pick is top 14 protected, so that won't convey or go into 2 second round picks. So they've essentially given up their 2027 San Antonio pick and a 2031 Minnesota pick for De'Aaron Fox, which I think is a fantastic deal for San Antonio. The Kings also, similarly, what the hell is going on in Sacramento? What the hell are you guys doing? You traded De'Aaron Fox for Zach LaVine. Okay, here's a wild idea. Let's put De'Aaron Fox, let's put DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine together on the same team, because we've never seen that before in the NBA. That worked so well when the Chicago Bulls did it. In fact, let's put those two together and put a European big man next to them. But this time, instead of having Vucevic, who can shoot the three, we're going to put Sabonis and have even left space in. Great job, guys. Great job. What the hell is going on? How do these people get these jobs? There's three of us here. One of us could go to Chicago, one of us could go somewhere else. What the hell's going on in this league? How are these people getting these jobs? I need to know. Who I got to be friends with? What favors I got to do with people to get these jobs? Not favors like that. I ain't doing that. But this is crazy. What the hell is wrong with these teams?
Mo,
it
you
doesn't make sense.
You are bringing the vibes today. That's for sure.
Man, listen.
You're a tough act to follow, Mo.
Scott, if these general managers, they don't have the decency to do their trades during the day, they get me out of bed in the middle of the night. I was talking about Luca. They've awoken a demon. They awoken the real demon, because now I'm on smoke for everyone.
Yeah, Mo. My only response to when you talk about both Chicago and Sacramento, again, you got to have a plan and direction. Now, I've not heard from either front office. Have you? I'm asking if you guys seen a press conference from either.
No.
Yeah. So that's my biggest question. Again, direction, plan. You know, what are you trying to accomplish here? Because, you know, on the surface, like you said, getting Zach LaVine, talented player. We know he wanted out of Chicago. But, you know, Zach LaVine is a Malik Monk, a more athletic Malik Monk that they have. And, you know, so Sacramento got rid of their face of the franchise, point guard, guy who was responsible for the growth of that team. And putting them in a position to be competitive, made it to the playoffs a couple of years ago. So now they lose that. And again, I understand that there was an issue there where he was talking about leaving or maybe not re-signing there, and they want to get in front of it. But it's going to be tough now, because when you analyze the Western Conference, you take Sacramento. We just talked a long time about the Dallas trade. You look at, to me, OKC, Dallas now, in terms of teams ready to win now, and OKC is younger, but compete for a championship. And then you have the three up-and-coming young teams in Houston that are going to be right there for a long time. San Antonio making this move now to get De'Aaron Fox. And I'm missing one more on the Western Conference side. Well, OKC is the other young team. These teams are going to be around for a long time. And so now where does Sacramento fall into all that? They were one of those young teams just 2 years ago that was trying to, you know, ascend into that and be Houston, be OKC. But now not so much. So I don't know now, Mo, what...
You had De'Aaron Fox, you had Tyrese Haliburton, and you've turned them into Zach LaVine and DeMontis Sabonis. Now, DeMontis Sabonis and Zach LaVine, they're very good players.
Yes.
But come on, man.
But it's no...
Come on. Right, you know what I'm saying here, right? Like,
yes.
Like, you want to basically be Chicago Bulls of the West. We're going to try to get a 10th seed and sneak into the play-in every year. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we tried, guys. We'll try next year. Like, just a few years ago, you were the second seed in the Western Conference. You're supposed to build on that momentum. Now you fire your coach, trade away your face of your franchise for not much of a return, really. I just don't understand it. But what I am excited for is to see how this goes in San Antonio. And our resident number one fan in the world of Mr. Wembanyama, Mr. BJ Armstrong. Are you excited to see the De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama combination in San Antonio?
Well, you know, again, I want to address this in reverse. I hope this move, because on paper, you know, San Antonio, they should be excited for without question. I mean, when anytime you get a chance to acquire a player of De'Aaron Fox's caliber, you have to entertain it, and clearly it worked for them. But I'm a little concerned because I hope that I'm wrong here. I hope this doesn't stunt the growth of like a Stephon Castle, who is a young player who they just drafted last year, I believe, with the fourth pick or something.
Yes.
Okay. And Scott Mills, if you're going to be a player in this league, you must have the opportunity to play. You must have the opportunity to make mistakes. And I don't know what this means now because, you know, Chris Paul is still there. Clearly, the Spurs have gone from a team that was looking to build through the draft to suddenly now they've done a what a 180. They're saying they have to compete. And with those two players, they will. Now, I don't know what this means for Castle, so I'm just a little concerned there of what this means for him and his future there. Hopefully they'll figure it out. But again, they have to build a team. They're going to have to build a team, get bigs, figure out how to get shooters and whatever this team is going to need, because now clearly they're on the clock right now.
Yeah, and they still have a bunch of picks that they can use to make other moves with.
Yeah, but they
They still
still
have a
got to pay. They
stockpile,
have to, but
but
they're
yeah,
a small market team. Traditionally, they haven't been a team that's going to pay and do all the aprons and all that stuff. So we'll see where this goes.
the lack of shooting may be a concern in San Antonio. I think you're going to see Wemby shooting even more threes, which I know you're going to love every
No,
minute of,
no.
BJ,
Yeah.
because Fox isn't known to be a prolific 3-point shooter. Stephon
But
Castle
he's
is definitely not a
he has improved though each year though his ability to shoot the three.
Who's
Fox.
that? Fox.
Fox.
Oh, yes.
Fox.
Yeah.
Yes, he's gotten
Castle
better.
needs to do a
And
lot of work on the shooting.
Fox, we talked about this last year when we were doing the year-end show in terms of who's the most clutch player. And we talked about De'Aaron Fox over the last couple 3 years being in the top two or three guys in those situations and delivering big baskets and coming through in the clutch. So that will be very helpful to me for Wimby in the short term. Even though Wimby's going to want to be that guy eventually, as he morphs into that guy, to have someone like a Fox being able to do it and who has done it should be fairly helpful to him and that team.
Scott, what do you think they do? Do they just put Chris Paul, bring him off the bench now? Is that what they
I
do?
think they're going to have to, it'd be hard to start Chris and De'Aaron, because Chris needs the ball a lot, and to have him play off the ball, I think they bring him off the bench. And you never know, and depending on the flow of the game, maybe there's stretches that they do play together, and then you start Castle alongside him. And I know one thing you always used to, and I know they've with a guy like Castle, when you can play with an elite point guard like a De'Aaron Fox, while there could be some concern in terms of quote unquote usage rate for Stephon Castle, there could be some benefit from him too, if long as they don't lose sight of that, because he's out there with a guy who could take some ball handling pressures off of him, that's a lot younger than Chris Paul, and allow him to pick and choose his spots
And they
and
can
be
play at a
more
faster pace
effectively.
as well.
Yes, there's no question about
But
that.
I think this clearly puts him as a two
It's a
now, right?
two. No question. No
Yeah, I
question.
mean that's what I'm thinking, you know, because
It clearly puts
yeah,
him as a
there's no
two.
play.
And we didn't know, and I know that there was a lot of question about him when coming out. Was he a one or a two when he came out in the draft? You know, he was, quote unquote, a combo. And I think the beauty of him is, if Fox is out, and with him playing with Fox for, years to come, you could slide him over to play one in a pinch if you need to.
You know, as we're talking, you know who Stephon Castle reminds me of, and I hope he evolves in to be, because I think he is a winning player, the late great Dennis Johnson. When he played, good call. When he played DJ.
That was one of my favorite players.
Yeah. And you know, we just lost one of my favorite players, Gus Johnson, the Wizard.
Yes.
And he had all the speed, and him and DJ were the guard backcourt. So I'm hoping, because I'm a big, I love guards, as you guys both know. I think he could evolve into that, and that would be magnificent, because DJ was a phenomenal player as a some level of combo guard.
Yeah, BJ just took me back on memory lane. I got it, man. Gus Williams, Dennis Johnson, and Fred Brown.
Oh man, now you're talking
hey,
about
hey, hey. And they had Slick Watts.
Oh, out there in Seattle. Man.
Exactly. See, now, I digress. Mo, I digress a little bit. You know, going back into history.
Go ahead, Mo.
Those were guys that I was watching as a young teen coming up and trying to emulate parts of their game. And me with Dennis Johnson, more reddish hair that I had, and freckles that I had, Dennis Johnson quickly became one of my favorites. So
look at that. Okay, all right.
I didn't expect to hear that on today's episode of the show.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this before we get out of here. are there any other moves, Scott, from your perspective, that you're expecting to see? You know, Jimmy Butler is still sat in Miami, probably upset that the attention's not on him this weekend. You know, he's still expecting his move. LeBron James now playing alongside Luka Doncic. Do we expect LeBron James to be on the move? There are a slew of other names across the association. Are there any moves you're anticipating being made in just 3 days to go into the trade deadline?
I would look at Jimmy Butler, obviously. That I'm sure there is still some urgency there to get something done. So I would watch that situation closely. I would watch the New Orleans Pelicans closely to see now, do they move on from Brandon Ingram, who people expected them to do in the first place? Does that happen? Or do they decide to try to reset the whole thing and move on from Zion? You know, because of a move like this that happened with Luka, does that embolden them to say, let's take a shot there? So I'm looking at those couple of places as potential moves in terms of big. I think there'll be a series of smaller moves. There always are. You know, teams start filling out, you know, backup point guard, backup centers, you know.
Gershon Yabusele is reportedly to be drawing a lot of interest on the trade market.
Is he? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He might be coming home to Boston.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. it. Okay. But yeah, I expect to see a lot of that type of stuff. And then, you know, we don't have enough time to go through every team with that. But I just wanted the bigger name ones that are still kind of out there.
Do you see the Warriors making a move, though? Because the Warriors currently sitting in 11th place as a 500 team. Well, you know, they can't keep wasting Stephen Curry. They have left with Stephen Curry.
You know, the one thing, and again, you never know what happens over 4 days. I know I've read where LeBron has said, you know, he wants to see how this works and play this season out. But do the Warriors, my guess is the Warriors still pick up the phone during this few day window to see if they can create one last time that pairing of Stephen Curry and LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Is that plausible? Can they make that happen? So that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, that has to come with LeBron's blessing to be able to do that. But because every month now matters when you talk about a 36-year-old Steph Curry and a 40-year-old LeBron James. You know, so waiting till next year, to this offseason to do that and go there for next season, you know, each month is a different change for them and their bodies than it is for a guy that's 25, 26 years mm-hmm. old. So be interesting to see.
BJ, any names on your radar that you think might be moved this week?
Well, I think you guys mentioned, I think the Warriors, I'm going to keep all lines open there. I think clearly now they have to do something with this move. I think the Warriors have to do something. Scott mentioned the Pelicans, which I agree with. I'm also keeping my eye quietly, the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
They quietly have gone about their business. What are they, fourth or fifth, somewhere around
They're
there?
fourth now.
Fourth.
They're
Yes, they're
fourth.
fourth.
They're just 3 games behind the second seed.
And when it's all said and done, they're right in position, regardless of what has happened. Now, that to me is a Supermax player. What
Nikola
Jokic has
Jokic.
done, what he's
Yeah.
done. Okay. I'm going to keep one eye on this team, the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
And the
good
reason
call.
being, and the
Good
reason being is because what how we started this discussion. What is the criteria for a max player? They have three.
call.
Okay. Okay. And right now they are what, 2 games above 500?
Yep.
Yep.
Eighth in the West.
Eighth in the West.
I don't know how this plays out, but I'm going to keep one eye on that team and that organization. Because for that type of money, I think it's fair to say I expect to be more than 2 games above 500.
That's a fact.
Okay. So those are my teams that I'm kind of keeping an eye on. And in particular, that Phoenix Suns team, I think it's going to be hot in the Valley of the Sun.
Yep. Good call.
And I
That's
think this is,
a good
I
call.
think that's a one team that I'm just saying maybe something happens that we
Yes.
will be having another emergency
Oh,
podcast.
I'm trying to get some sleep.
No, don't get no
Do you
sleep.
know who else?
Don't
Cam
get
Johnson
no sleep.
still on the Brooklyn Nets. That's another name that will probably be moved this week. He's on a very good contract. One of the best contracts in terms of value in the NBA for what he
Yes, good
produces.
call. Yes, Cam. Yeah, that's a good
So
name.
we're gonna have to
Yep,
see
I
where
can
he
see
ends
that.
up. And you know, one team that no one really talks about is the Toronto Raptors. I know Masai is always in and amongst
I'm not worried. I'm
conversations.
not worried about that team. I'm not worried
You're
about
not?
that team. No, I'm not worried about that team. Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
Minnesota, I would think, would probably, you know, just kind of their phones are
The
open.
phones won't open. Yeah.
I'm not sure if they are making
Right.
calls, but certainly when the phone rings, they may answer it on the second ring. Maybe first.
They had won 4 or 5 straight until they lost a bad one here against the Wizards here the other
Yeah.
night.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Losing to the
Yeah,
Wizards
but
is.
yeah, that wasn't good. But I thought they were starting to really turn the corner and gel together. And DiVincenzo's still out for them,
Okay.
which impacts their depth. So.
All right, gentlemen. Well,
Well.
I'll see you in about an hour. I mean, I'll see you guys
Exactly.
tomorrow.
See you in an hour when
Yeah.
another trade happens as soon as we finish
Yes.
recording. But yeah, no,
Well,
appreciate the insight, fellas. Scott, it's good to have you on as always. I'm sure you'll be rocking with us
oh
throughout the
yeah,
week
well,
as well.
yeah, I'm gonna come with you during this week since it is trade deadline week. So
Please, please,
have to,
please
yes, to
do.
be,
Have to,
I'm
have to.
yes. So I'm gonna hang out this week with the with my guys on the Hoop Genius podcast, where the vibes are always good, Mo.
Well, you know what it is. You know what it is.
Exactly.
You know. Hey, Scott, you
Hey,
know,
hey.
they got Mo out of bed, so you know
No, exactly.
And on that note, gentlemen,
Exactly.
I'll tell you what's really dangerous about this trade week. The podcast picking up so much traction. I had certain people telling me, "Mo, I'm listening to your podcast." I said, "Wait. Why are you listening to my podcast? You don't watch basketball shit." She said, "I just want to know what you're talking about." So I said, "Guys, we got to chill out a little bit here. I can't be getting in trouble for the podcast
Oh, I just said they got Mo out of bed, you know. Hey, Scott and I are out, you know, running errands. Hey, Scott,
Yeah,
Scott's playing golf, running errands, going to the grocery store.
but,
You know, I'm about
yeah.
to take my son to school, and they got Mo out of bed. I'm
Hey,
just saying.
I stay put at work.
Hey.
24/7. Just know. Until next time, subscribe to the show. The only place to be as the NBA trade deadline approaches. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please do subscribe, share the podcast with your friends. If you want, leave some reviews on the Apple podcast thingy. That'd be really nice. 5 stars on Spotify, all that good stuff. And until next time, get buckets.